ladies and gentlemen. Welcome on in Lineup Logic Podcast, the daily fantasy podcast, bringing you lineup construction ideas for the DFS slate. Upcoming FanDuel, DraftKings, MLB, DFS, May 18th, Friday, 15-game slate. It is all here. It is we got everybody in action, guys. It's top to bottom, the whole league in action on the main slate. So a lot to talk about tonight. Of course, I have my man Josh Fernandez on the line to help me break it all down. He'll help us get our player pool squared away. What I will say is sorry that I was not able to bring you guys a Thursday show. I was traveling back and forth, and I just could not get to it. It wasn't going to happen. Was not in the cards. Got to the cheat sheet, of course, patrons. So hopefully you guys enjoyed that. A little bit of a rough slate now. I mean, we're looking at a pretty low scoring slate and a rain delay in Chicago. So, well, we'll wait. We'll see what happens. We've had some somewhat uneventful slates recently. And hopefully this Friday slate will be completely different. We have some high totals. I'm looking at 9.5, 9, 10. 9.5, some really solid numbers here, some fun games that should provide a whole lot of offense. And then, then of course there's Scherzer on here. So anytime you get Scherzer and you get a 10 run total, you're probably in for a good night. So it should be a good one. Let's not waste too much time. Let's take a look at tonight. We'll go through pitchers. We'll go through Vegas. We'll talk exactly what we see on this Friday night slate. All right, starting at the top of the slate here with Padres, Pirates. This series continues in PNC. 8-run total, Tyson Ross, Ivan Nova. Pirates about a half a run home favorite here, 4.2 implied to the Padres, 3.8. It's interesting that the Padres are such a low total against Nova, who, Nova has not been particularly good. We know who Nova is, but allowing a decent amount of hard contact. The Sierra, not that great. I don't know necessarily if this is just an indictment of their offense on the road or what. But I guess, I don't know. Nova doesn't walk people. He's got a decent ground ball rate. He's always in control. So I guess there's not a lot of freebies to get against this guy, but at the same time, not necessarily a threat. A lot of other teams have beat up on him just because he hammers the zone. It's all fastballs with him. So, not my favorite game in the world. I do think it is probably a pretty low scoring game. 8 is probably the right number here. So not a place where I'll get offense, but I think people will look at the pitchers here. Tyson Ross has been pitching well. Some of his numbers look very interesting. Pirates offense though, effective, effective. They're kind of a little bit of a bad news Bears type roster, but effective. Dodgers in LA, or excuse me, in Washington, 7 runs here. Ross Stripling, Max Scherzer. Scherzer, massive home favorite, nearly 2 runs. Stripling's been pitching well, but the Nats are favored and implied for 4.2 runs here to the Dodgers, 2.8. Scherzer, lock and load, go, 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 go. I don't know that I love the Nats offense in this situation. anytime they're against a righty, I'm really only looking at Harper and Adams. I think that's a pair you could go to. It's pricey, but fine. Okay. Against Stripling, that makes sense. He's been good though. 26% K rate for the young fellow. So not terrible, not terrible. But this definitely deserves a 7-run total here. Yeah, no doubt about it. Cubs, Reds in Cincinnati. This one is one of those 9.5ers. This one's going to be good. 5.5 runs for the Cubbies. They will take on Homer Bailey, Kyle Hendricks on the mound for the Cubs. And even the Reds imply for 4 runs at home. Love the small ballpark Friday night Cubs roster. Hopefully we don't get the full rain out tonight. It's still relatively early in Chicago. We could get this game in. If we get the rain out, then we're going to get these pitchers pushed back and we're going to have to, rethink everything. But hopefully we get this game. We get Kyle Hendricks, Homer Bailey, and we get this Cubs 5.5 run total. Love, love, love the Cubs 1 through 6, 1 through 7, even depending on who's in the 7. You can mix and match anyway. Homer Bailey's fly ball rate is out of control. Baltimore Orioles continuing with the Red Sox tonight. 10 run total in Beantown. Alex Cobb, Drew Pomeranz, 4.2 implied for the O's. Pomeranz, not getting it done. So it makes good sense to me that the O's, who have been a little bit hot right now, and actually the righty stack, now that I think about it, interesting. I didn't make a note about them, but I might have to do that. Red Sox implied for 5.7 runs. You heard it right. That's one of the highest totals on the slate. Yeah, Red Sox. Of course. Yes. Of course. Yes. When you're implied for that many runs, it's basically a cheat code. Anything that close to six, you have to play. You have to get exposure. You got to get involved, because that's just a huge number for Vegas to feel really, really confident in that way. They're going to publish that number. That's a good sign for us. Straley versus Newcomb. Marlins, Braves, 9 runs in Atlanta. 3.5 for the Fish and 5.5 for the Braves. Yep. Newcomb is a massive favorite here. You know, 3.5 runs for them is not a crazy number. Miami's a terrible offense. We know that. They're not that bad against lefties. They're a little bit better against lefties than they are righties, and they don't strike out that much. So it's not necessarily that we want to get involved with Newcomb. It's more that you're absolutely certain that the Braves offense is going to smash Dan Straley, who currently leads the slate in hard contact rate. His three starts thus far this year, absolutely disastrous in the first two. Started to get it together against Atlanta in 5 innings, 5 Ks, allowed 6 base runners and 1 dinger. So, you know, not necessarily a bad outing, not a good outing. He's had 30 fantasy points in that one, but he certainly, you know, his numbers right now definitely represent that he's going to allow base runners, and the Miami bullpen should allow some as well. Cleveland versus Houston. This should be a fun series this weekend. 8 runs implied in Houston. Mike Clevinger, Charlie Morton. 4.5 for the Stros. 3.5 for the Indians. I really want to like Charlie Morton, but this Cleveland offense is hot right now. I don't think that I can get involved in that. That would be a little bit too much risk for me to take on here. Even though the numbers are very good for Morton right now, he's looked sharp. And we know, you know, he's a guy who has strikeout upside. Even if his K rate is not through the roof like it was at some points last year, but it's solid. And you can certainly see why he's someone that you get attracted to, because you know he has really good stuff. And I just don't think that even with the 30% strikeout rate, God, it's so hard. You really, really, I mean, he's pitching so well right now just based on everything I'm seeing, but it's the freaking Indians, and they don't strike out very much. And let's get the specifics on the Indians numbers here. Hold on, let me pull these up. Versus right-handers. They are creeping up. They were in the 20s last week. Yeah, now they're up to 18th in the league, 97 WRC plus. Okay, they are swinging a little bit, 23% strikeout rate. So maybe Morton is in play. Maybe Morton is in play a little bit more than I thought initially. But you know, you just worry the way that they've been hitting this week that they could certainly, you know, make it a long night for him. And he's just got to stare down so many left. It's, you know, it's Brantley, it's Ramirez, it's Alonso, it's Kipnis. You have, you know, all of these guys, in that lineup. Everybody can hit. And we know E5 hits lefties as well, or hits righties as well. So it's a tough one, but the Stros favorite at home. I don't necessarily love the offense here for them. They're high priced. Clevinger's, you know, decent numbers right now. I don't really want to stack the Astros until I start to see them really put up those huge innings that we are accustomed to. Texas, Chicago. We have no pitcher for the Rangers just yet. Doug Fister pitching tonight, so we're not sure where they are in their rotation after Cole Hamels was scratched. Carson Fulmer taking the mound for the White Sox. So no total here. You know, there's a lot of ways that this could go. My guess is that if the Rangers have to reach into their bullpen and you know, kind of cobble together a start, you're going to probably see somewhere close to 8-9 runs and four-ish runs for both teams. Pretty even. Fulmer has not been great, you know, not at all. So we'll see. We'll see what the numbers tell us tomorrow. Milwaukee, Minnesota, 9 runs here. Brent Suter, Kyle Gibson, 4.8 for the Twins, 4.2 for the Brewers. Gibson, the slight home favorite here. I don't have a ton of interest in this game. You know, mostly because I prefer the Twins. I prefer the Twins against righties. You know, they're just kind of a much more flexible stack when they have a righty on the opposite side. You know, and Milwaukee slightly uninspired right now. Too many strikeouts in that lineup sometimes for me to feel comfortable with the way they. You know, if they don't really get it going, then they're not necessarily a team that I get really thrilled about stacking. And frankly, Kyle Gibson has been okay. Walk rate is way too high, but he's getting some strikeouts. So, you know, he's been interesting. He's been interesting this year. He's been effective, I guess, is the way to describe it. Phillies, Cardinals, 7.5 runs here. Jake Arrieta, Michael Wacha. This is an interesting matchup. You know, to have the total this low is very intriguing, and I think it's a reflection of how poorly the Cards are running right now. Arrieta, you know, I mean, which Jake Arrieta are you going to get? You know, which one are you going to get? You're going to get the one that leaves early. You're going to get the one that goes, you know, goes into the eighth inning and gets a ton of ground balls and strikeouts. Luckily for the last two, he's had a quality start in both of those. That makes 5 of 7 total quality starts. Of course, the one game when I started him, he went for -1. the strikeouts are not overwhelming, but the depth in the game makes him interesting, especially against a team that's really, really running cold right now in St. Louis. New York, Kansas City, Yanks go down to Kansas City here, 9.5 runs, Sabathia versus Junis, 5.5 runs for the Yankees, 5.4 for the Yankees, excuse me, Junis, yeah, not great, I no problem with going to the Yanks in this situation. Obviously, I love Gardner, Didi, Gary, that whole, those guys who hit righties, very, very, very fun, against Junis. The Royals have been hitting lefties halfway decent. It's mostly this top three here, the Merrifield, Soler, Perez. That's about it. But okay, you don't have to. Not very inspired to do that. Tampa Bay, LA, 8.5 runs in Los Angeles. Blake Snell, Nick Tropiano. Tropiano the favorite here. 4.5 runs for the Angels to 3.9 for the Rays. This game doesn't inspire me very much. You could definitely talk me into the Angels righties, I guess, but Snell has been good. The numbers look pretty solid for him. He could, you know, thank you, dog. He could certainly get some stops. And by get some stops, I mean strikeouts or outs, whatever. You know what I mean, okay? Generic sports term insert here. Detroit versus Seattle. 8 runs, Michael Fulmer, Felix Hernandez. I don't get it. I don't know how. I mean, the Tigers are not very good against righties, but Felix has been, you know, the numbers this year are really rough on Hernandez. And we've seen some pretty mediocre performances. Now, we've seen some interesting ones, but we've definitely seen some mediocre ones, that's for sure. So I don't really understand why it is that the Tigers are not getting a lot of love here. Colorado, San Francisco, Kyle Freeland, Derek Holland, 2 lefties. This game is interesting. To see an 8.5 run total in San Francisco, that's a pretty big number for that. So my ears have perked up, if you will, especially as it relates to the Rockies on the road here. I don't think that they'll get a lot of attention. LeMahieu on the DL, not my favorite. But we have enough righties here. We have enough righties that are decent value and price against Holland, who's been bad, that I think that they are stack worthy. And they are a pretty good point per dollar option. Now, what will you get for that? I have no idea. But you got to have Nolan Arenado in there. But you could get some interesting, you could get a decent return against Holland, who has been bad. So a fun slate, a lot of interesting ways to go. Definitely some offenses that I feel like could explode here. So I do think we're going to have a lot of scoring. And if it was anything like last Friday's slate, where it's just homers, boom, 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 boom off the top, you're going to want to get involved. So Josh is on the line here. Let's go ahead and get into the player breakdown and figure out exactly who we are. Who do you love? All right. Josh, Sean, back together again. Get the band back together. We haven't done this in a while, Fernsky.
I know, man. It's been a while. Like, between us just having a misconnection a couple weeks ago, and then like the week before last, I was like sick as a dog in the hospital with like I don't know if you all know, but like diverticulitis, whatever the hell it is. Like my stomach's all messed up and I was out of commission for a week. And then you're like, you know, traveling around, selling your house, buying a house.
I know, man.
Crazy.
Life is.
But we're back.
We're back. The band is back together. The band is back together. We're back. And then it is good to be back. And a good slate to be back on, like a full 15 game. We've had some kind of rinky dink slates this week. It's been a little bit, you know, some good ones, but not really. This is certainly feels like one of the better slates of the week. This one that we're looking at, this Friday slate, 15 games, you know, the pitching is nice. I think just cause it's obvious. It's like, I mean, there's not a lot of people that you would want to play over Scherzer, I think, you know. So we'll talk about pitching, but I think it's pretty nice. The bats, though, is really interesting. I was looking at this. We got like two games with a 10 total and two games with a 9.5 run total. So it should be a lot of fun.
Nice. Nice. Yeah, it's a good slate, really, too, because, you know, we're not – overloaded with studs. You know, we've got Scherzer, DeGrom, Charlie Morton as well. A couple like, you know, second tier guys, you know, and then a bunch of interesting situations down low. And I love when you don't have an overabundance of like expensive pitchers. You know, you can have your decision be, you know, do I go with this like, you know, small group of studs or do I get, you know, creative here? And I think that's going to be the slate. You know, the nature of the slate is like go with the couple of studs or get creative. You know, don't feel like you're forced into rostering these studs. But damn, man, when you got Scherzer and Jake DeGrom on the slate, like it's hard. And Charlie Morton, it's hard not to go with those guys.
Yeah, Charlie Morton is interesting. I was talking about him and just before it's hard to get excited about facing the Indians, but at the same time, his numbers look excellent. So we'll talk about it. Let's talk about some pitchers. We'll talk about some bats that maybe we want to get into our lineup here. And then, you know, we'll try to throw together a quick lineup, see if we can help you guys out. So obviously, you know, we alluded to it. It starts with Scherzer. Obviously, you know, unbelievable performance thus far. And there's so much more of a story here than just like this guy's good, because obviously the numbers are unbelievable. 40% K rate maintained through his last start, which is ridiculous. 17% swing strike rate still there. Walk rate below 6. Sierra at 2.12. Absolutely phenomenal. Yes, will someone hit a home run off of him? Sure, of course. I'm sure somebody will. He's good for one. But other than that, you really aren't going to get any production off of this guy. And it's obscene how good he has been this year. Dodgers, you might say, okay, name value wise, yes, that's a little bit scary. But let's remember the Dodgers have a record below 500 right now. They're like, I think, third in their division currently versus right-handers. They are striking out at 22% rate and a 101 WRC plus, relatively average right now. We'll see them probably hover around here in this top, you know, 15, I think, this season. But I don't necessarily see this team. I don't know if they're going to be able to get back over the hump of missing all these guys with these injuries and the early season hole that they put themselves in. So not scared at all about Scherzer in this situation. I don't think that we should be against the Dodgers. Remember, he went out there on the West Coast on the road, put up 6 innings, 9 Ks against them, 1 run. So no concerns there. Wasn't, you know, an overly dominant performance, but a good performance nonetheless. And I think we expect the quality start, and we look, we hope for our double digit Ks, and that's what you pay for when you get Max Scherzer in your lineup.
Mm-hmm. Definitely. Yeah. You know, it's funny is I want to say it was against the Dodgers. There's a pretty famous Scherzer gif of him, like staring down
yes
and mouthing like mother motherfucker, I'm going to fucking strike you out. You know what I'm talking about?
He says, I think the words were, get in the fucking box, you motherfucker.
Yeah, something like that. But I love that gif of him, and it captures him perfectly. Like, he's just so intense. And another thing about Scherzer, I don't know if you've noticed, Sean, is he's hitting really well, too, this year.
Is he really? I'm going to get his batting numbers here.
Get his batting numbers up, but I was watching a recent start of his.
Oh, yeah.
And he actually recorded a barrel, just stroked one to left field, like 100-mile-per-hour exit velocity.
He has had – he's on the season 7-for-24 with 3 ribbies and 2 runs. No walks, has not taken a walk. Well, that makes sense. This is impressive stuff, man. Yeah. 273 WOBA. That's pretty good for a pitcher.
Yeah. And I guess if you check out his Statcast stuff, I'm pretty sure he's putting up some good exit velocities. So he's a total package, man. And they said on the Masson telecast there, you know, obviously it's the home team, broadcasters, but they were like, man, this is a guy that is putting up MVP type performances, not just doing the pitching, he's hitting too.
When was the last time we had an MVP as a pitcher? I feel like we haven't had that in a while. I mean, this has definitely been that's been a hitter's award, I feel like, for a long time.
MVP, 10 pitchers to win the Cy Young and MVP in one season. Did Kershaw do it? I'm waiting for this to load.
He may have. He may have.
Oh, yeah. He won the NL MVP and the Cy Young in 2014.
Okay. I was going to say, there was a lot of baseball historians out there saying, come on, guys, Kershaw 2014. Sean, Josh, come on.
Yeah. Kershaw and Verlander are the only guys to do it this century. Everybody else from the 90s and before.
Okay. All right. Well, it's interesting. The numbers for Scherzer are great. I don't know necessarily though that it feels like maybe DeGrom even has a better matchup with Arizona coming up to New York.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm super into DeGrom in this matchup. Don't get me wrong. I love Mad Max against the Dodgers. I think he'll go lower owned than DeGrom will, for sure, actually. But DeGrom going against Arizona is just a dream matchup for him, at least based on what Arizona's been doing lately. Since May 1st, kind of an arbitrary date, but, you know, we'll just say since the start of the month, the Diamondbacks are second in strikeouts per pitch seen. They've struck out second most on a per pitch seen basis. And the reason I'm saying per pitch seen is just because that's how they depict things on Baseball Savant on a per pitch basis. So they're striking out a ton, and they're not just striking out a ton. They're not being very productive either. They're 29th in expected weighted on base average. So the expected weighted on base average, for those of you that don't know, just simply is like WOBA. But it's based, it's expected stats based on exit velocity, launch angle. So they're not good right now. The Diamondbacks are not good right now. I don't expect them to markedly improve. You know, they probably should regress a little bit, you know, positively. But going against DeGrom, that's not going to happen. He is number one in Major League Baseball in ex-WOBA allowed, a 239 ex-WOBA. Well, let me be more clear. He's number one among starting pitchers. There's a few relievers, Sean Doolittle, Aroldis Chapman, Adam Ottavino, who else? I'm trying to think off the top. Oh, the GOAT, Josh Hader. Some of those guys are just unreal coming out of
the right. The GOAT, Josh Hader.
Dude, he is insane. Go ahead.
Well, no, this is what I was going to say is it's the StatCast stuff. What I think is really, really nice about some of the StatCast stuff is we start to see we've started to reveal guys who have extraordinary baseball skill that perhaps in previous seasons you wouldn't have been able to measure how good they are at, you know, where they're placing their pitches and how effective they are at spin rate and all that kind of stuff and the ball movement and all that kind of thing. Whereas now we can start to measure, and for those of us who really like to, you know, overanalyze some of this stuff, we can start to measure that stuff and appreciate guys who have really, really unique skills, but maybe because they're not household names or starting pitchers with 40% K rates like Max Scherzer, they don't get the recognition. Now they're getting a little bit of better recognition.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, it's super cool. Like when you can incorporate some of this high tech stuff that StatCast allows us to measure, it just like changes the way you perceive certain guys. So definitely awesome stuff. Definitely giving credit to a lot of guys who, like you said, you know, wouldn't get credit in previous years. But yeah, like DeGrom, I mean, the matchup is just unreal. Like he's pitching so well. I don't know, maybe because he cut his hair off, he got like even better, but something's going on with this guy where he's the, at least according to ex-WOBA, you know, the most dominant pitch, starting pitcher in baseball right now. And the Diamondbacks are basically inept. So, you know, the saving of 1600 versus Scherzer is definitely going to attract a lot of ownership his way. Granted, it is a massive slate, 15 game slate. So, you know, I wouldn't really worry too much about ownership here. But, you know, something to keep in mind if you're picking between these two studs, Max and Jake, is I'm very certain that we're going to see some pretty heavy ownership on DeGrom's side. But, you know, for good reason.
Yeah, totally. Let's pivot away from there. Charlie Morton is kind of in no man's land here. He's not quite in our grout tier. He didn't make the cut for either of us. I like the numbers. I don't like the matchup. I mean, that's pretty much it, right, Josh?
Yeah, I mean, it's really hard to roster Charlie Morton on this particular slate. The Indians are second in expected weighted on base average for the season, just behind the Red Sox, just a hair behind the Red Sox. And Charlie Morton is second, just behind DeGrom in expected weighted on base average allowed. So this is like two giants mashing against each other, and which one's going to give. And, you know, we've said it before. Well, I've said it before. You know, I don't know if you agree, but, you know, I oftentimes will side with the dominant hitting team rather than the dominant pitcher. I mean, I just feel like the Indians are, you know, hitting an otherworldly manner right now. I mean, Francisco Lindor is just ridiculous. But Charlie Morton, I mean, we saw what he's done this year. He shut down the Yankees a couple weeks ago and just made them look, you know, inept. So anything can happen. But when you have the safety of DeGrom against the D-backs and a much better matchup for Scherzer against the Dodgers, like it's really hard to go to Morton outside of, you know, tournaments.
Yeah, I think that that's a good call. It's Morton in tournaments if you want to be really aggressive and you potentially get a situation where other people overlook him. But remember, this is a team, Cleveland, that traditionally shows a lot of plate discipline. So it doesn't feel like, you know, the Yankees are a slugging team that every once in a while will show you a total lack of plate discipline and you can get swings out of them. Eh, not so much with the Indians. So I think I'm going to go down to a totally different tier here. Jake Arrieta, you know, and which Jake Arrieta are you going to get? I think the only common denominator with his performance is it's not necessarily the strikeouts that you're in love with right now. It's his ability to get in deep into games. And a lot of that has to do with the fact that he's got a 57% ground ball rate. He's only allowing 20% hard contact. He has far and away one of the best batted ball profiles in baseball. And it's really impressive because it seems like, you know, he has said to himself, listen, I just don't have the ability right now to strike 27% of batters out like he did in that, you know, that Cy Young 2015 year. He's not trying to, and he is perfectly comfortable evolving his game and not relying on velocity and relying on the ground ball and generating outs and going deep into games. And he's gone into the seventh a couple times here, and we're looking at a guy who's gotten a number of quality starts, and really no serious damage in his only one game. You know, he got one really bad outing against Miami where he was absolutely chalk and the whole world wept. But last two starts, 13 total innings versus the Mets and the Nats, one earned run, 7 Ks. So you're not necessarily in love with the strikeout numbers, but you are in love with the batted ball profile, the ability to get deep into games, the ability to get the quality start. He is going up against St. Louis. And now St. Louis, you kind of think of them as a team that you're a little bit scared of, the power there. You don't love it. But frankly, right now, they're not hitting that well. And we know that they are a right-handed heavy team. And so you look at their numbers versus right-handers, 20th in the league, 24% strikeout rate, 93 WRC plus. So pretty below average in what they're doing against righties. Arrieta splits against righties. Obviously, we know that the batted ball profile is phenomenal. His splits against righties, let me get these up here. He's been excellent against righties. 241 wOBA allowed. A few more walks to the right side of the plate, which inflates his xFIPs here a little bit on that. But 60% ground ball rate over there, 15% hard contact. So just if you want a guy who can potentially get you into the seventh, get you that quality start, I don't know how many strikeouts he'll get, maybe 4, something like that. But I like the way he's pitching, and I think it's an interesting evolution for Jake Arrieta.
Yeah, I actually really love this pick. I love it because I'm really not sure if the public realizes how bad the Cardinals offense is. I mean, they're bottom five in baseball.
They started, I mean, name value, these guys like should not be bad, but they are not playing well right now.
No, they're horrible. Second worst team batting average. Third worst team slugging percentage. And fifth worst team wOBA. Not good. Thanks. Not good, Sean.
Not great, Bob.
Great, Bob.
And yeah, actually, sorry. In the last month, pull their splits against righties for the last month. Their WRC plus drops to 84, 25th in the league with a 25% strikeout rate.
An 84 so, WRC plus is not good.
No, not good. So they're really struggling at the plate right now.
Yes, yeah, and losing Yadier Molina, just another reliable veteran bat, not help whatsoever. So good luck to them against the ground ball sinker ball master Jake Arrieta.
Yep.
Yeah, I'm into Zach Godley going against the Mets. I think this is going to be a nice pitcher's duel between DeGrom and Godley. I don't think Godley by any stretch is going to dominate, you know, strikeout wise like DeGrom should, but there's no reason he can't get deep into the game against the Mets. Again, just like DeGrom since May 1st, looking at it just on a recent basis. The Mets have struck out the fourth most per pitch seen, and they're 27th in xWOBA. So,
God.
Yeah. So they're just about as bad as Arizona is. I think that people are more aware. This is just my perception. I'm not basing this on anything other than my gut feeling. Is that I just think that people perceive the Mets to be better offensively than the Diamondbacks right now. That's just my perception. I guess if you asked me if they were like, hey, Josh, who's better, Mets or Diamondbacks? I'd be like, oh, Mets for sure. But the Mets are horrible lately. And Godley is not great, but he is just a fine professional pitcher. 8.4 K per nine. You know, 3.7 walks per nine is just about fine. You know, a solid 2-to-1 ratio, limits the home runs, is managing to induce ground balls to a 52% clip. and he has a nice difference between his xFIP and his ERA. Given up a 4.1 ERA, but a 3.8 xFIP. So not a massive difference between the xFIP and the ERA, but enough where you can say that he's due, you know, to he's due for some even more positive regression. And what a better way to regress positively than against the Metropolitans?
The Metropolitans, they started, there was a Reddit stat today. It was like, after starting 11-1, the New York Mets have gone 9-18.
Yeah, dude, these two teams, I feel like we were stacking the fuck out of them back in like April.
They're both kind of hitting the skids, which, you know, I mean, the Diamondbacks, I feel like it's injuries. The Mets, it's just Metsing it. The one. They're just messing it up out there. I was going to say, you feel like people, the story was that they were really good. So people were at first like, okay, the Mets are bouncing back. This is going to be a fun year for them. And then they just, you know, everybody except for those on the islands of Queens believe in the Mets.
So bad.
Is Queens isn't itself in its own island. Is it?
Queens is, I'm not sure. I mean,
it's attached to Long Island. It was like, yeah, now this is exactly the same thing that happened when we asked about the MVP Cy Young question, and people are yelling at their podcast
devices. How do you not know what the five boroughs look like exactly?
Yeah, exactly. Sorry.
No, Queens is part of the – what is the giant island called?
Long Island.
So it's on Long Island.
Yeah, it's on Long Island.
So Brooklyn is like the Long Island's butt. And Queens is like, it's half butt.
Yeah, it's like Queens is the biggest of the boroughs, right? Because it's basically like part of Long Island.
Yeah. And so I'm looking at a map right now and
New York geography.
I am.
New York. That's what you came here for, guys.
Interesting. I gotta do that. After the pod recording, I'm gonna study a map of New York.
It's fun. It's an interesting, it's a strange, strange geographical place.
It is. It's weird.
And terrible, terrible highways getting through Queens. The Long Island Queens Expressway is absolutely one of the worst roads in America. That I know. I've driven through New York many a time, but
yeah.
All right. That's enough. Kyle Gibson. Let's talk Kyle Gibson here. This is unique. I was teetering between some guys, but I think Kyle Gibson is someone that people are not aware of where he's at with his numbers right now. 26% strikeout rate, a 12% swinging strike rate to back that up. The walk rate way too high, 11%. However, he's got the fly balls at 32%, solid. 40% hard contact rate is concerning, but it's not leaving the park just yet. 5.4% home run to fly ball ratio. So he is generating whiffs and he is getting outs. I like the matchup with Milwaukee. Milwaukee right now against right-handers struggling. Not a particularly consistent offense, very average, 24% strikeout rate, similar to St. Louis and what we're looking for, a profile that is just inconsistent, swings too much. So I feel comfortable saying that, you know, this could be a nice outing for Gibson, and Gibson has been a little bit inconsistent, a little bit wild, but he's shown a couple times that he can really get himself, generate some whiffs and we saw him against the Yankees get a quality start with 10 Ks and zero earned, in his last, two starts, quality starts, his last two were quality starts. He was on his way to a quality start in Toronto and got yanked in the fifth. Really feel good about the way that Gibson is pitching. And I think that there's hidden strikeout upside in what he is doing here. So I don't mind him at home versus Milwaukee. Like I said, a team that, you know, certainly strikes out, and it'll help that Braun is out of the lineup. One less bat that you worry about, and probably one more K in there with some of the younger guys, the Hernan Perez's and the John VRs of the world in the lineup. So I like this spot.
Yeah, definitely. I like it too. Gibson actually started flashing towards the end of the year, had a nice spring. There was some buzz about him. I actually, now that you mention it, I remember I was kind of like my ears are perking up, like looking at Kyle Gibson on some early slate early in the year. I was like, huh, Kyle Gibson. I didn't realize he's like coming on strong. And then he had kind of like a subpar outing to start the year. And I said, you're dead to me again, Kyle Gibson. And then several weeks pass and I look up and it's like, wait a second, Kyle Gibson, like he's legit. Like he's actually doing what he was, you know, kind of profiling as, which is like you said, you know, kind of like a high whiff upside, high strikeout upside guy who can be prone to some barrels, some exit velocity issue.
Right.
But he's got a lot of upside. That's the key with him. And you got to pick your spots. And this is a nice spot.
No doubt. Yeah, no doubt.
So I like it, man. As far as dart throws go, I'm looking at Ross Stripling against the Nationals. The Nationals. They're good, man. They're very good. They're a dangerous team. I'm not going to lie. I hesitated before I wrote this down. Since May 1st, they are second in XWOBA, a 367 XWOBA, team XWOBA, which is just behind Cleveland. So this is a team that you definitely don't want to mess around with. However, Ross Stripling, a guy who I think like, you know, 10% of, you know, baseball fans even know who the hell he is. This guy is pretty damn good so far. And again, like, I don't think people are aware. If you look at pitchers on a basis of guys who faced 100 batters, he is 12th in XWOBA. That's 12th out of 160 pitchers. So not only is he putting up good stats, you know, 298 WOBA, 268 batting average allowed, just a 375 slugging allowed, but his expected weighted on base average based on the exit velocity he allows and the launch angle he allows say that he is pitching as well as he is. Like, he's not getting lucky. So to me, for 6K, it's worth it. It's worth the risk, you know, in a tournament to throw Stripling out there against the Nats, who, again, yes, the Nationals are amazing. But on any given night, you know, a pitcher can come out and just have a team's number. I doubt that the Nationals have very much experience facing Stripling. I haven't looked it up. You know, he's not like a young guy. He's pushing 30. But I don't think he has like a massive big league track record. I don't know. Like, I haven't really heard the name Ross Stripling until this year.
No, I mean, it's interesting. I mean, the Dodgers, though, you know, they do this. They just have so much young talent that you just kind of, you just look up and you're like, holy shit, nobody. I mean, they never draft poorly. So the Stripling character, his numbers are there. You're right. I think with me, the question is how deep can he get into the game? Yeah. You know, I always worry about Dodgers pitchers getting yanked in the fifth. And if this kid is, you know, if he's doing his darndest against an offense like the Nationals, will he be able to hang in there? Hopefully he will.
Yeah, that's a good point. Dave Roberts has a pretty infamous track record of yanking guys a little earlier than we'd like. So, but
tight,
you know, for near Min Sal, you know, it's interesting. It's very interesting to me that a guy putting these kinds of numbers up is 6K. Could be the matchup, could be something else. I don't know, but you know, gotta keep aware. Gotta stay abreast of these things, Sean.
That's right. That's right. Keep your breasts alert.
Keep your breasts.
off. Let's talk bats. Let's always go. We always got to go with the team that's facing Homer Bailey, of course. Yeah. With a name like Homer Bailey, you've got to be bad. The guy who's basically since I graduated college, he has been a Cincinnati Red. It's just really, I think that is actually one of my favorite things. Is like literally, I went into adulthood. Homer Bailey went into the Reds organization, and this is our concurrent story. He's Homer Bailey. He's terrible. Everything is a fly ball. Everything is well hit. It's 40-40 fly ball, hard contact. That is the magic. That is the magic number. 40-40 fly ball to hard contact. You are loving it. He's currently striking out only 13% of batters, walking 7%. He's got a Sierra of 5.1. It's all there. We absolutely want this Cubs offense against him. You know, the Cubs themselves, the numbers against righties, they're fine. They're top 10 offense. We know this. They're not overwhelming. This is kind of where, I don't remember where they finished last year, but this is kind of where they were last year. You know, they're right up there with Oakland, and they're kind of tied with Oakland right now. And looking sharp. And Bailey, we can attack him with both sides of the plate. That's the best thing. The lefties are a lock. So, I mean, the numbers to lefties, a 400 wOBA, 638 slug allowed, you know, and you put them at home specifically, numbers get worse. 2.6 home runs per nine, allowed at home this year, because at ballpark, just, you know, it's home run city. So, absolutely love the lefties, have zero issue going to, you know, obviously Schwarber, Rizzo, Zobrist, Ian Happ. If for some reason Ian Happ's been pretty low in the lineup, but Schwarber, Rizzo, Zobrist, obviously all in play. But I would not leave out anyone like Bryant or Contreras. And we look at specifically at the pitch types. Bailey's going to throw his slider and his change a decent amount. And he's going to throw, it's interesting, he throws his change to the lefties and he throws his slider mostly to the righties. And when you look at it, what we're seeing is a pitch that for the slider, we really probably want to get some, where is it? Who was it that was hitting the slider? Oh, well, Contreras hits both. So that's a good argument and testament to Contreras. He loves that changeup right now. Ex-Woba at four, over 400 over 800 right now, the ex-Woba on the changeup. Very, very small sample size in 2018, obviously. But a good indicator that he likes that. Now, the one thing I will say is the fastball is pretty soft. That's also a great Contreras spot. It's also a great Schwarber spot. He wants that soft fastball. So a lot of ways to go. No problem going to all sorts of combinations of stacks here against Homer Bailey with the Cubs. The one thing I'm worried about is I really hope we don't get a delay and then they push all their pitchers back. Although the Reds wouldn't push their pitcher back, would they? Because they didn't play today.
Yeah, that's true.
They're finishing the Braves series, aren't they?
Yeah, wait.
No, so this would just
they finished. They're not playing today. The Braves are playing the Cubbies.
The Braves are playing the Cubs, but that game is delayed.
Right. Today. Right.
Okay. Anyway. All right. So that wouldn't affect Homer Bailey. So yeah. Oh, yeah. Good stuff.
Perfect. Another pitcher who sucks, a big one, is Alex Cobb. Though to his credit, he's actually pitched a lot better lately. He started off, no, he really has, he started off just god awful, just epically bad. And to his credit, he has done, you know, markedly better. I don't want to put him too high up on a pedestal, but he's done well. That said, he's going against the Red Sox, and the Red Sox are the best hitting team in baseball. And I will take the Red Sox against Alex Cobb 99 times out of 100. He's just not going to be able to hang with them. So looking at the Red Sox as of late, the last couple weeks, on an ex-WOBA basis, JD Martinez is on another planet. He's just in another galaxy. 535 ex-WOBA since May 1st against right-handed pitching. That is insane. I think he donged tonight against Gausman.
He did.
I expect that to happen again tomorrow night unless Cobb pitches around him, though it's kind of hard to pitch around a guy batting in the middle of the order with guys like Mookie Betts and Andrew Benintendi and Hanley batting in front of him who can get.
Well, and even Xander Bogaerts.
Even Xander Bogaerts.
Like, Bogaerts donged tonight too. Like, the fuck? He had like, no, there was like jokes about how many barrels he had last year.
Yeah. Yeah, I know. He was really bad last year. But something happened. Maybe he just got healthy. I don't know what it is, but
yeah,
he's crushing the ball this year himself, batting fifth for the Red Sox. Prime power spot, and they got their shortstop in there. So they're a really impressive hitting team. And JD leads the way. Mitch Moreland, 460 ex-WOBA against right-handed pitching the last couple weeks. Mookie Betts has kind of cooled off a little bit relative to what he was doing to start off the year. That said, a 384 ex-WOBA against right-handed pitching is nothing to sneeze at. And I'm pretty sure he donged as well tonight. I'm not entirely sure, but he did something. At any rate, I am super into the Red Sox against him. That said, it's going to be hard to roster them if you plan on using one of our studs, like DeGrom or Scherzer. If you opt to go in another direction, then you can definitely fit him in. But, you know, we're talking 5,200 for Betts, 4,900 for JD, 44 for Benintendi, 41 for Xander, 4K for Hanley. You got five guys over 4K. Moreland is an awesome bargain at 3,300. So I'm really, if I'm using Red Sox, I'm starting with Moreland and then going out after that.
Yeah.
Because 3,300 for a guy who the last 2 weeks is second in ex-WOBA on that team is a great bargain. So Red Sox against.
And the thing thing about a team like the Red Sox, they're gonna generate so many base runners that you're eventually gonna get more plate appearances for Moreland. So it's not really a concern. You know, you're gonna have a lot of base runners in the top of that order, and so you're gonna get Moreland at the plate more. I'm gonna pivot now, and I'm gonna get us some more interesting options. I think. I'm looking at this. I'm really into the Rockies versus Derek Holland, and this is a little bit more of a deep cut, but I think it works. And Holland has struggled this year. Right now, decent strikeout rate at 22%, but Sierra at 4.59. 42% hard contact is the number that really stands out to me. And 4.5 runs, they're implied for 4.5 runs in San Francisco. Vegas is telling us that, like, this, there's going to be offense in this game. And it's not the lefties. It's all on the right side of the plate. And what you have in Colorado is potentially some cheap righties that you can invest in to fill in around, and you're going to want salary relief, and you're going to want to fill in around some of those more expensive lineups. And so, you know, with LeMahieu on the DL, you're going to get, Noel Cuevas has been, in the outfield, and they're like moving some guys around in the infield. You're getting Cuevas probably in the two hole right now, projected. Arenado is obviously, you want to get an Arenado involved. Trevor's story is also really interesting here, specifically on pitch type stuff, and I'll talk about that in a second. And Ian Desmond and Chris Iannetta, okay, the numbers are not, you know, mind-blowing this year, but we know that those guys are capable hitters every once in a while. They can and have hit home runs. They got four homers between the two of them. You know, Desmond more so than Iannetta right now. You know, Iannetta as a catcher, is every once in a while when you're forced to play a catcher, Iannetta was interesting. But Desmond right now, 200 WOBA, and 200 ISO. So he's still got the power, but obviously Arenado is just crushing, like fucking unbelievable. And Trevor Story as well. Trevor Story really only hits lefties. So this is a good opportunity to use him. You get a nice middle infield. You can fill almost your whole middle infield with these guys, which is always nice. So I like the Rockies here against Holland. And we look specifically at pitch type. You're even more pleased to see what we find here. Holland's gonna hammer the slider here against righties. Over 50% of the time this year, he's thrown the slider, and that is a pitch that Story, Arenado, and Cuevas are very comfortable with. So good news there. Very good news there that we will see a very effective very effective profile for these guys against the most popular pitch for Derek Holland. So they're not a particularly exciting offense. The numbers for them as a team are not great. In fact, versus left-handers right now, 19th in the league in WRC plus, not great, 25% strikeout rate. But you're going to get some value. You're going to get some lower ownership. And Holland has been giving it up to the right side of the plate. So there's enough of an argument to maybe get a Rocky stack involved.
Yeah, I like it. You know, the Rockies are definitely, pretty tough to roster because they're really top heavy. If Arenado and Chuck and, DJ is DL'd right now. It's Story. You know, if they're not hitting in a particular game, then odds are the rest of the lineup won't be either. But Holland, he's beatable for sure. And he's really prone to extra base hits. His expected slugging is tied with James Shields for 25th highest out of 160 starting pitchers who faced at least 100 batters. So he's in that, top tier of, most sluggable guys. So I like it. It's definitely a nice pivot. I like the Tigers against King Felix. He's obviously on the wrong side of 30 now, King Felix. But he's definitely kind of, falling off pretty quickly. I'm just kind of searching for him here. 47th in expected slugging out of 160 pitchers. And if we sort by ex-WOBA, he is 32nd. So he is way up there in both expected slugging and expected weighted on base average. What that means is that he is giving up really high exit velocity and prime launch angle. So guys are able to square up on him, and they're able to take really good cuts against his pitches. And that really lines up well with what the Tigers can do. Is the Tigers can give us some nice hitting from some really cheap bats. I mean, the most expensive hitter on this team is Nick Castellanos at $3,300. So they're the
anti
right
Red Sox.
Exactly. You're telling me that I can roster hang on a second here. I'm finding the right tab because I have like 5 billion tabs open. Jesus Christ. I can't find the tab I want to make my awesome point here. Shit. Whatever.
Jacoby Jones and Pete Cosma.
Yeah, buddy. Jacoby Jones and Pete Cosma. Okay, there we go. You're telling me that I can roster the team with the eighth highest ex-WOBA on the season. And now, granted, they don't have Miguel Cabrera, but that's just one guy. Okay.
So Mickey's numbers have been rough lately, in the last two
rather
years.
Pedestrian. Good, but rather pedestrian for his standards. He is no longer an ultra elite hitter. So you're telling me that I can roster a top 10 team in ex-WOBA where the most expensive hitter, who is a hell of a hitter in Castellanos, for $3,300 against a pitcher who is in the top 40 in both expected slugging and expected weighted on base average. I am 100% into it. So I'm definitely into Castellanos. I'm definitely into to Nico Goodrum if he gets the start. Nico is kind of a stat cast guy, good exit velocity and launch angle. He's got a good home run swing, and he can get going here. He's a switch hitter, filling in for Miggy. So I'm into him. Jacoby Jones, batting leadoff. You just mentioned him, and he's had some really nice performances. And then guys like John Hicks and James McCann as well. John Hicks has been playing first base pretty regularly with Miggy out, and he's been doing well. So there's a bunch of interesting guys in here, all in the 3,000 to 2,500 range. And I think that they can put up a crooked number on Mr. Felix.
Nice. I like that. I think they're going to go a little bit overlooked. They have a pretty low total. They don't bother me.
Yeah, I don't know if I would. I don't know if I'd want to full stack them, but I definitely am into. Couple spots.
Yeah, use the top of the order for sure for value. And you know what? Those late games, people don't play those teams. You're going to get them at 1%. So,
yep.
No question. I am interested as kind of a pivot strategy here. And actually, you know, now that I'm looking at some of the numbers on Estrada, I don't know how much of a pivot it's going to be because the Athletics have just been fucking awesome. They've been great. And Estrada's been terrible. And I would love to game stack. To game stack these clowns, a lot of Oakland and a little bit of Toronto is how I would mix that in. And I think what I'll start with the Oakland side because they're more appealing to me. Now Estrada, we know he is kind of a reverse splits guy. Strangely enough, is righty. His wOBA to the right side of the plate is 402, the 611 slug. He's been getting destroyed. And so we look at his pitch profile versus right-handers, and it's all just the four-seamer. And he's going to throw it way too much, and it's been getting smoked. So you're looking at a four-seamer that is not coming in hot enough, that is just right below 90 miles an hour. Jed Lowrie, Marcus Semien, Matt Joyce, these guys are just smacking that pitch. And so he could very easily struggle early and often when he has to face the top of this order. And it's the nice thing is you can play Semien against him because he's so, you know, usually Semien struggles a little bit against right-handers. Well, he's got really good profile right now against Estrada. So Lowrie, Semien, Joyce, even Olsen in there, no question. Olsen should be interesting. He has a lot of power against those, you know, softer fastballs as well. And then you flip over and you want to attack Brett Anderson, you know, mostly ground balls, but a lot yielded to the right side of the plate. And so you look at some of the numbers on Toronto here, and you have some intriguing options at the top of their order as well. Teoscar Hernandez, Justin Smoke, Josh Donaldson, Solarte, Pilar, all these guys hitting reasonably well. And so I think you can kind of mix and match some of these stacks and some of these players here. You know, Smoke specifically hitting lefties very well. as well as Teoscar Hernandez. And Solarte is fine. The numbers for Donaldson are there. He hasn't really gotten the home run ball going yet. But you know, he probably will. I think Teoscar and Justin Smoke are probably my two favorites, just because they'll be 1-2 and obviously they've been hitting the best on this team. We have the largest sample to kind of know how they're performing this season. So, that is where I'm at. I think you can mix a full stack of Oakland and then a little bit of a Toronto stack. This is a 10 run total, so it will attack. It will get some attention for sure. But I definitely want exposure to it. Although, I mean, based on what we saw, you know, and Blue Jays are favored, but based on what we saw tonight, I mean, fucking Oakland, man, they're already up to 6 runs as we're recording right now. This team can really, really string together runs. So I love a good Oakland stack, and anytime I get a chance to, I will.
Yeah, I definitely like it. In fact, I was going to recommend Oakland as one of my stacks, and I saw that you beat me to the punch. I love it. Both teams are awesome offensively this year. Based on expected slugging, the Blue Jays are 4th, the A's are 5th. Based on expected WOBA, the Blue Jays are 5th, the A's are 6th. So these teams are hitting the cover off the ball this year, and you definitely can attack Brett Anderson. And for some reason, Marco Estrada's salary is still over 7K. He's been really, really bad. So I like it, definitely. And I like, also for Toronto, Kevin Pillar, going against a lefty. You mentioned Smoke and Teoscar. I throw Pillar in there as well. He can hit lefties pretty damn well. So good call there. I'm kind of excited about this, because for previous episodes of the show, I was talking about going stacking or using pitchers against the Orioles. Now the tables have turned a little bit. Now I'm talking about stacking them Orioles against Drew Pomeranz. And I'm excited about that, Sean. When the O's get hot, they get hot. They get real hot. And they hit dingers when they're hot. They're not a team to sustain like crazy rallies. I mean, obviously they put up 17 against the Rays the other day, but you know, every team, you know, has a game like that once or twice a season. But that's not their MO. Like, they're not a team that like sustains tons of hits and puts up 17 runs. They're a team that'll score like 8 runs and like hit like 5 solo homers. And we will take that all day in DFS. We just want to make sure that we roster the right guys who hit those solo homers. But that's the Orioles' MO. They're like a team that gets hot.
Adam Jones.
Exactly. They're a team that gets hot with Adam Jingers. So yep. Over the last week, they're number 1 in expected slugging. They're 4th in expected slugging over that this past week against left-handed pitching. They're 2nd in ex-WOBA, 7th in ex-WOBA against left-handed pitching. Pomeranz is fine, but he's not great. So
I love picking on Drew Pomeranz.
Yeah, he's definitely prone to having some blow-up innings. And this is a team that can, you know, can blow up a guy like Pomeranz. And so, you know, give me the top of the order: Mancini, Jonesy, Manny. You know, Scope is back now. Chris Davis is hitting a little bit. Trumbo, exit velocity is looking great. He's definitely not trying to like hit homers. He's just hitting gappers. You know, like I've said it 1,000 times, I'm an O's fan. I watch all these games, and you know, just watching Trumbo, I'm loving what I'm seeing from him. Hopefully they can trade him for something nice, because the way he's hitting, I don't see why a contending team wouldn't want him. I mean, he's not doing a Chris Davis. He's definitely in a good spot. And then, you know, other than that, it kind of drops off. I mean, Danny Valencia against a lefty is
right.
But yeah, like this team looks like they're in a pretty nice spot. Vegas has given them 4.3 runs right now, and I expect that to rise. 5.8 runs for the Red Sox going against Alex Cobb. So we might have a big old shootout on our hands here.
Yeah. Yeah. As long as these pitchers don't start throwing at each other, we are throwing at batters, we should be able to get some good production. I like the righties, like 1 through 5 right there. And, you know, Danny Valencia, okay, maybe, you know, if you need it. But you're exactly right. This team can get it going and they will string together runs. And, you know, I mean, Manny just hit another one tonight. So, the power is there and Pomeranz gets smacked by that side of the plate. The numbers two righties are silly. XFIP at 5 there for him. Home run to fly ball rate of 22%. So it is absolutely where you want to attack him. And I like the top of that order.
Yeah, buddy.
All right, let's see if we can throw together a quick lineup, Josh.
Can I just say real quick before we throw up our quick lineup is I just want to rattle off a few interesting names that stood out to me on Baseball Savant's daily matchups page. If you're not familiar with that, guys, if you go to Baseball Savant, at the top you can see daily matchups. And that'll give you like BVP stuff. What's more interesting is it'll give you the average exit velocity the batter has hit against that particular pitcher since 2015, since they started measuring exit velocity, and the batted ball events since 2015. So just a few names to rattle off. Lorenzo Cain against Kyle Gibson, 16 batted ball events, 94.8 exit velocity, hitting the ball hard against Kyle Gibson is Lorenzo Cain. Manny Machado against Pomeranz, 10 batted ball events, 96 mile an hour exit velocity. Joey Votto, I feel like you got to lock this guy in. 8 batted ball events against Kyle Hendricks, 97 miles an hour, 2 dingers.
That makes sense. They see each other a lot.
Yeah. Chris Iannetta against Derek Holland. Now keep in mind, these two dingers that Votto's hit against Hendricks are not career. It's just in this span of time, last couple of years. Iannetta against Derek Holland, 7 batted ball events, 94 miles an hour. Ozzie Albies against Dan Straley, 8 plate appearances, 4 batted ball events, 2 home runs.
Fuck.
Yeah. Brad Miller against Nick Tropeano, 9 plate appearances, 2 batted ball events, 2 home runs. So he's seen him 9 times. He's hit the ball twice. Both times he's put the ball into play twice. Both times were home runs.
Wow.
Brad Miller. And then Big Dick Corey Dickerson against Tyson Ross, 15 plate appearances, 3 batted ball events, 2 home runs. So those are some names for you to consider. If you want to look even closer, go hop on to Baseball Savant and check that shit out, or get our cheat sheet via Patreon. Yep.
Yeah, you don't have to remember all those names and you can just fill it in. Boom.
Yeah.
All right. Good stuff, Josh. Lineup time.
Let's do it.
Let's do it. Scherzbot, right?
Scherzbot.
Start with Scherzer and then we'll flip over here. Obviously you need some savings. So what do you think we do for savings?
Well, let's get a couple old tigers in our life.
Yeah, that's true. Get some cheapy tigers.
I feel like I kind of want to get
who's the leadoff?
Jacoby Jones.
Yeah, Jacoby Jones. Okay.
He's 2,500.
That's nice.
And then I figure like it might make sense to like do a little mini stack here.
Mm-hmm. A pair, maybe.
Yeah, like I figure he and Castellanos would be a good pair.
Okay.
I mean, I just love getting the top hitter on the team for $3,300.
Yeah, that's
and
nice.
and he's like a legit hitter, you know. So totally. I like that Jones and Castellanos. Now, granted, we're taking up two of our outfield spots with these guys, but it's all good.
Yeah, we'll figure it out. We'll work around it. I'm looking at Ian Desmond and Noel Cuevas are really interesting as really cheap top of the order Rockies for savings as well. You get a first, unfortunately. Well, you get a first baseman, and they're not, you know, they don't profile as well as Arenado and Story, but they're a lot cheaper than Arenado and Story.
Well, and Cuevas gets a hit between Chuck and Arenado too. So.
Right. So let's put Cuevas in there at 2,100. That's going to help us. Yeah. And, we'll try with Desmond. I'm not in love with Desmond, but
he's by the way, I decided to take Castellanos out.
Why?
Because I want to.
All right, take him out.
This is America, and I can do what I want.
That's true. I do what I want. Where are we going then? We got the salary relief in there that we needed. We have 3,200 per bat.
All right. Let me go back here. Okay, so just looking at a couple of these, I feel like I kind of got to get Brad Miller in there.
You want to get Brad Miller in there?
I mean, all right. Well, first of all, okay, not only has he had success against Tropeano, but I was doing just some trolling of the StatCast data, and I can't quote exactly what I saw, but Brad Miller popped to me. And he's 2,600.
He is cheap.
And he bats in the middle of that lineup. Now, granted, it's the Rays, but, you know, sorry. I don't mean to offend you there, Sean.
No, they're not appointment TV this season. I mean, there was a nice little.
They're not must see TV.
No, they're not. It's no Friends. Trust me. All right. Let's get them in there. Let's see what we get.
Okay.
3,400 per stick. Now we have room to make a full four-man stack if we can here. We have outfield. We need middle infield and outfielders. Or excuse me, middle infield and one outfielder. So let's see what we can do.
Okay, so what did we – why don't we go look at our
– I'm looking at my notes here. We could go – well, really the position –
let's look at the Jays and A's.
Yeah, the Jays and A's are definitely interesting. I mean, the one thing I will say is that if we had a first base spot, we could – well, I mean, you can go with – Jed Lowry is too cheap, as is the A's are just too cheap. Like, I don't know what else. Is Marcus Semien, Jed Lowry, 3,200.
Yeah, Jesus Christ. What the fuck, dude? Lowry, the most expensive hitter against Marco Estrada.
Well, and Matt Olson is 3K on the nose, and Matt Joyce is 2,800.
So Chris Davis is 3,300.
Yeah, I mean,
Matt Chapman 28. I mean, now granted, some of these guys have like slightly regressed, but geez, dude.
I know.
You're telling me, brother. Yeah, let's get a few of them in here, dude. Jed Lowry, you want to do like? We could do like 3, 4, 5.
Oh, look at this! Wait, I just got somewhere. You ready? Okay, we got I got the Oakland stack. Okay. Oakland stack, Lowry, Semien, Joyce, Olson. I just plugged it in to see what it would look like. Got those guys in there. Okay. Then I realized that I needed a third baseman, but I had some space. And I got Arenado in there. I could get Arenado if I go down to DeGrom. So I go three, and I can get Ian Desmond, Arenado, and Noel Cuevas, and then Jacoby Jones in the leadoff spot. But I might actually even be able to pivot off of Jacoby Jones. Well, actually, you know what you do? You just upgrade. All you do is you upgrade Matt Olson into Chris Davis, and then boom. It's DeGrom, four-man Oakland, three-man Colorado, and Jacoby Jones in the leadoff spot.
I like that.
It's not bad, right?
I am just filling my utility spot real quick.
Ooh, that's always fun.
By the way, Mark Reynolds.
Mark Reynolds.
Did you see his first game with the Nationals? He double donged.
Did he really?
Yes. I don't even know that. I didn't even know he was on the Nationals.
Well,
so
Roto Grinders had his name listed as Matt Reynolds, which it was pretty offensive because I was like, "What is going on here?"
Well, there is a Matt Reynolds, I think. I don't even know if he's in baseball.
They just mishmashed him together with Matt Adams. But like, what a smart idea to platoon all of these old first basemen who, like, basically are good for a couple games a year at first base in certain splits. You know, between Matt Adams, Mark Reynolds, like they should get Mark Trumbo too. Like, just. You know, like add to this platoon of guys who are basically only Ryan Zimmerman, who are only good at hitting home runs. But you know what? You probably get 40 appearances out of them a year. And, you know, that's all you need.
Yeah.
Awesome. All right. What do you got?
Okay. So here's what I got. I got DeGrom, mm-hmm. Brad Miller. I got DeGrom, Brad Miller, Jed Lowry. Yengervi Solarte,
ooh, nice.
Marcus Semien, Jacoby Jones, Chris Davis, Noel Cuevas. So I have the three-man Oakland stack of Semien, Lowry, and Davis, and then a bunch of one-offs. And then my utility spot is empty. I have 4,800 left over.
Okay.
So I could go Ozzie Albies. I could go Manny Machado. I mean, I can go a bunch of guys. I mean, I can go Mike Trout against Blake Snell. I can go Bryce against Stripp. I mean, there's a whole fuck ton of 40 whatever guys. But the only guys I can't roster now, I mean, basically this lineup, and then there's three people I can't roster, and it's Mookie, JD, and Freddie Freeman.
Fred Wardo.
Yeah. So the possibilities are, that's crazy. The two highest priced batters on the slate are both Red Sox.
Yeah. Well, I do think that
deservedly
FanDuel's some of FanDuel's algorithm has to do with ownership percentage. And so that makes sense.
Right. But you know, I'm tempted to go with Albies or Manny just because of I mean, and really Albies with what he's done against Straley. You know, I mentioned it at the end of the pod there, or end of that segment with the Lone Wolves, is, like I said, 8 plate appearances, 4 batted ball events, 2 home runs.
Wow.
Yeah, it's impressive. And that's against a righty. He dominates lefties. He's impressive.
That Braves team is so fun.
They really are. And I just love him because he's like, what, 5'8", like 170?
Yeah, and they're like 20 years old. Children.
Yeah. I know. It's crazy. Like Carmago, Albies, Acuna. Mm-hmm. They're unbelievable.
Johan, Ozzy, Ronnie.
These names, man. And then Freddy,
Ozzy, Ronnie.
And then old-ass Nick Markakis, just like... pissing me off because the Orioles, like, I just come back, Nick. I miss you, man.
Dude, he would not be worth your time. You would hate him if he was an actual Oriole. He's not going to do this all year.
I know. He's such a National Leaguer.
Well, that was fun. This is interesting. The one massive takeaway I have is the Oakland stack is going to probably be in like 85% of my lineups because they're so cheap.
They're so cheap, and Marco Estrada's so bad.
All changeups, all fastballs, all home runs. He's a 50% fly ball rate right now.
Yeah, well, you know you mentioned spin rate, and that's his thing. Like that's what he does. His fastball is like tops out at 88, but his spin rate is like crazy high. And with a high spin rate on a fastball, you know, the benefit is that, you know, it rises and guys can get under it and pop it up, or swing through it. But for him, you know, guys can hit it out of the park because he's missing about 6 or 7 miles an hour on that thing. So let's go A's, man. I love the A's in this slate. They're just so cheap and such a good matchup. And the Rogers Center is such a nice place to knock balls out of the park.
Totally. All right, buddy. Well, we are out of here. Let's get this. Let's be done here. Good night and good luck, America. Yes. Good night and good luck.
Yes. All right. What is that? Walter Cronkite?
I made it up.
No, I don't think you did. I think there was a guy from like the 60s that said it.
That's a good point. Somebody said, but they didn't say good luck. Wasn't that? I don't know what they said.
Good night and good luck was the man named Edward R. Murrow.
Really? Yeah.
Played by George Clooney in the 2005 docudrama Good Night and Good Luck. So with that
good
said,
night
Sean,
and good luck.
Good night.
All right.
See ya. See ya.